Well, it's a privilege to be able to stand up here behind the pastor's pulpit and give a message, and I don't take it lightly. As I was preparing for this message this week, God wrecked me. I got wrecked. When you get into Scripture, it sounds a little loud. Well, is that better? There we go. When you get into Scripture, sometimes and you're doing a study and you're allowing God to do something, it's like, Lord, if I'm going to preach this, you got to do it to me first, you know, change me. And I want to open up with, when you think of a heart condition, what do you usually think of? You think of, you know, high blood pressure, low blood pressure. Congestive heart failure, arrhythmia. You know, these are some common heart conditions that we deal with physically. But, you know, and then you have to go see the doctor and you got to get the right medications sometimes to get things in balance, to raise your blood pressure or to lower it. Congestive heart failure is actually really pretty serious condition when everything gets kind of backed up and your heart's just not pumping right and you start swelling up all over. You know, arrhythmia is your heart is just skipping. You know, it's doing weird beats and whatnot. But when you look at the Scripture, when it talks about the heart, what does it say? Open up to Mark 7, verse 17 through 23. Jesus was talking to the disciples. He had been talking with the Pharisees and everybody, and they were talking about just ritualistic things, things on the outside. Should you eat with clean hands or unclean hands? And the Pharisees were questioning, why are they eating with dirty hands? And Jesus explained it's not what goes in the man, what comes out of the man that defiles the man. And then And in verse 17, it says, after he had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about the parable. Jesus said, are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters the man from the outside can make him unclean? For it does not go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and then out of his body. In this saying, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on saying, what comes out of the man, what makes him unclean, for from out of man's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and makes the man unclean. In this passage, the Greek word that it was transferred from for the word heart is the word cardia. Now, cardia is not the physical heart as I described what, you know, when you have heart conditions, but it's your mind, your will, your emotion, your inner man, your nature is what Jesus was addressing. All those things are within our spirit, within inside of us. And Jesus describes what comes out of the cardia, our heart, our inner person, and what the symptoms are. It was a pretty exhaustive list. You know, kind of like how you see those TV commercials when oh, you take this medication, and you're like, oh, I take it, I'm going to get bleeding eye, and my ears are going to pop or whatever, just to help an elbow pain or something, you know? It's like, no. You know, sometimes it's like, no. But we're all born with this condition. That's troubling when you read that. I am capable of everything that Jesus listed off here. Murder, idolatry, greed, sexual immorality. And sexual immorality in itself is not just homosexuality or the LGBTQ, but it's also the heterosexual side. It's a various thing. People step outside of what God's designed for a man and woman in marriage. But we're all capable of these things. And they come from within inside. Jeremiah 17:10, or 9 and 10. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. How many of us have lied? How many of us have had hate in our heart? Jesus said hate is equal to murder. If God knows, Jesus is God, he knows our heart. And right here it says our heart's also deceitful. We lie to ourselves. Oh, I'm a good person. I do good things. But Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then the believer, okay, we're believers, but we still have our struggles. There's a battle that goes on. Galatians 5:16 through 21. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are at conflict with one another, that you will do the things that you do not want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature, here's that list again, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need a transplant. All that I read, we need a transplant. God knows our heart. He knows what's going on. We need a transplant. We need the cardiovascular surgeon to come in and get rid of this heart. So what's God's plan? Obviously, he doesn't, if we go by this, we're doomed. But that's not God. He loves us. But God has a plan. He is the surgeon. So what is his plan? Well, Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them an undivided heart. I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Does that sound familiar? This is way back in the Old Testament where Christ has not come back yet. But he's telling us way back then, I have a plan. I got you covered. I am going to take this heart and I'm going to give you a new one. I'm going to give you a new heart. How many want a new heart? I do. I want a new heart. So how does this happen? How does this happen? How do we get a new heart? I'm going to remove some of these tabs. They're getting in the way. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. It says, rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. God wants us to rend our hearts. He wants us to give it to him. Now, what does it mean to rend? The word rend translated from the Hebrew word kara, which means to tear away or humbly ask to remove sin from your heart, is also a mean to split, rip, or just get it out of there. In ancient times, a person would rend their garments. A lot of times, they would just tear it when there was something bad that happened, to express intense emotion like grief, repentance, or even holy zeal. We got to rend our hearts. How does one rend their heart? We give it to the Lord. We surrender it. It's the only way. But it takes an act where you got to really mean it. Like when they were in so much grief, when something happened, they would just rip their clothes. They would lay down in the dust and start just weeping and wailing because of what they did or what happened. Repentance. Repent. That's what God wants us to do. But for all this to happen, one, we got to pray for an undivided heart. We got that battle that's going on. You know, I want to do this, I want to do that, but the Spirit is in us saying, don't do it, and yet we still do it. Psalm 86:11. David was a good person for writing psalms and stuff that's repentant. I think when I think of David, he was a man after God's heart, but he repented a lot. And in this part of Scripture, he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. We got to ask. We got to seek God. Give me an undivided heart. There's so many things going on in this world today that can cause our hearts to be divided. God wants all our heart. That's why he says, rend your heart. Give it to me. We need the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. The only way is having the Holy Spirit dwell within us so that we can have an undivided heart. It's the only way, is God coming in us, repenting. Jesus, come into my life. Holy Spirit, come live in me. We need the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. This is a promise from the Lord himself. John 14, verse 16 and 17. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He lives with you, and he will be in you. That gives us an advantage. It gives us the ability to rely on God to overcome these things in our lives that cause us that exhaustive list we are all capable of. Again, what are we capable of? We're capable of murder. We're capable of lying, cheating, sexual immorality. We're capable of every sin possible because it's in our nature. It's in our inner man. But Jesus says, I will give you a new heart. And he says, I will place my Spirit in you. Second Corinthians 1:22. I think Jason mentioned this earlier. He was praying it. He says, I'll start in verse 21 actually. It says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, he set a seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, a guarantee of what is to come. How many have the Holy Spirit in them? Does it help? It does. Oh my goodness. Trying to do good on my own, I can't. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no one good. And out of my good deeds, on my own ability, they're flawed. They are flawed. But he will place his Spirit in us. How many want more of the Spirit of God? I do. But we got to rend our hearts, guys. We got to do an evaluation every day. Every day we got to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? We got to rend our hearts. It's kind of like this piece of paper. We got to rip it. We got to rip it. Gotta rip it. Rend our hearts. Get it out of me, Lord. Lay before him. Psalm 51, 10 and 12. David knew. He did a lot of wrong stuff, but his heart, he kept rending it. It's all throughout the scripture. There's no sin in your life that God will not forgive. David, if you look at all that he did, when you read the stories, it wasn't all good. Yeah, he did really good in some things, and some things like, oh my goodness, this is a man after God's own heart. But when you read what he wrote in Psalm 51, verse 10, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Then he goes on and says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Are you sustained? Are you sustained? Let's close with this, Jason. If you want to start the music, I want to do a time at the altar. It's heart check time. We need to really lay our hearts out before the Lord, examine ourselves. And as you grow closer to God, God just starts revealing more and more. You know, a lot of times it starts off with the big things. It's like, oh, I'm a drug addict. God delivers me of drugs. And, you know, these are big things to us. To God, sin is sin. But I would like you guys to stand and come forward and just lay it before the Lord. If there's anything in your heart, hate, anger, hate or anger. There's just things that we are struggling with as people. Come before and lay it before God.